job.
Amen. We appreciate a decorated war hero for coming and ministering to us today. We're going to be reading from the Bible. This is going to be the King James Version. We're going to Matthew 11, and we're going to start at 28 and go to the end. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Well, it's nice to be in your church this morning. I haven't been in mine for a while. They keep me busy at the prison. And I was hoping I could put on my blue suit because blue is my favorite color. Well, you can't wear blue at the prison. That's what the inmates wear. The nearest thing I can do is wear a blue cap. And I got that because Don and Mary and some of their children, we went to the Holy Land and I bought a souvenir. Blue is my favorite color. Are there any other people that blue's your favorite color? Oh, lucky you. Blue is God's favorite color. Well, how do you know that? Well, we have different colors, you know. We got green, we got yellow, and we got different colors. But the sky above that goes around this earth, it's blue. True blue. Not dead red. Not mean green, true blue. Well, I better take it off. I'm in the chapel here, so you can't wear caps in the chapel because you might have a weapon or some drugs under your cap. But in the Bible, Paul said that men shouldn't wear caps, but women should, or have their hair. Is it easier to be lost or to be saved? And I gave this, it's a Bible study, to the inmates. We had about 15, and the room was small. It wasn't the main chapel, but they were about 15. And I had them, I said, I'm going to ask you a question. I want to see how you answer it. It's how you think. Don't worry. I'm not going to do that here. Is it easier to be lost or saved? What about lost? Most of the hands went up. I said, what about saved? Only got one. And I said, ooh, I got some work to do here. So, before I forget, I'm doing something I haven't ever done before. I'm going to have slides so I can get, you don't have to look up the verses, you can read them. And I haven't done that before, and I realize now that I'm limited to what the slides put up. So my order of service is going to be, who cares? But I've got a handout, and it'll have more detail in it than I can cover. In fact, there's one area I'm going to say, well, I can't do that. Maybe next time here we'll cover that. But I've got that for you. So I told the inmates, I said, Whenever you can find what Jesus said, you won't get a big argument. You can argue over some of Paul's writing, because Peter said he wrote some things that are hard to understand. And people twist them, and they prove what they want to prove. But if Jesus said it, and he always made it plain, easy, simple, and told stories, parables, so that some could even get a little understanding. Oh, yeah, that happened to me. So our scripture reading, and if we can get the first one up so you can see it again, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Okay, well, I've got mine right up here. So, come unto me. That's an invitation, not a command. Who, if you labor, oh, you're working hard, and are heavy laden, and this can be physical or mental problems, you come to me, and Jesus will give us rest. Amen. Well, boy, girl, to get rid of all that burdens and let him have them, that's rest. When we leave church, we should leave our burdens and cares and doubts and fears here and have rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you. Now, some of the brothers, they got their hand up. If they raise their hand, they can interrupt me. I said, yes, yoke. I don't know what a yoke is. Ah, you were raised in the city. So I was. So I explained, it's what you put on two oxen. The oxen are partners. You want to keep them of equal strength, or else one will be doing more of the work. So Jesus said, we'll partner up. Well, if I'm right next to Jesus, I can do all things because he's got the strength. Amen. That's nice. And he says, if you wear my yoke, you will learn of me. He will be our teacher, and watching how he does things, he's a good example. And he says, you'll find out that I'm lowly in heart and my yoke is easy. You will find rest unto your souls. That's not physical. That's salvation. When we're saved, we don't have to work hard to earn it. It's a free gift. And then he said, it's easy. Now, Jesus says salvation is easy. Now, the yoke, he covered two things. First, we're saved. It's called justification. It's a gift. Once we're saved, we get a new heart. We're partnered with Christ. And then we do good works. Matthew 7 says, 16, let your light shine before, so people will see your good works, glorify God. Good works won't save us, we're already saved. But they will help save others and glorify God. So the yoke is part of sanctification. In simple terms, he said, you're saved by a gift, and then you work with me, because if we love God, we'll want to keep his law, not to earn salvation, but to help others. Well, that went pretty good. And they said, yes, it's got to be easy. Okay, let's get the next slide and see what's coming up here. Christ saves us because we're sheep and we've gone astray. We're lost. That's Christ's job. And our sins are laid upon him, but we've gone astray. And in the New Testament, it plainly says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes John the Baptist and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Paul, and we can just, all of us have sinned. So we're in this lost condition. Let's get the next one. We're just doing the basic. Jesus is the good shepherd. Amen. He proved it by dying for our sins, second death, so we don't have to die. Amen. Then in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save the lost. The shepherd goes after the sheep that have wandered off to bring them back. We don't really come to Jesus. He comes to us. If the sheep aren't lost, they'll know where to go. Amen. So there are a few that know where to go, but we'll get to that verse because that's what they threw back at me. One guy knew his Bible, and he said, Lou, how come so few find the straight and narrow row? How come? I said, we'll get to that, but I'm glad you brought that verse up. Because I was prepared for that. Next slide. Okay. Now, if you're not a lost sheep, you can be lost in a city, plenty of people. You can be lost at home. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. We can't go to the gate of heaven and knock, so he has to come to us. And all we have to do is open the door. But if we don't open the door, he won't come in. God will not force us to be good or to be saved. What about the devil? Does he knock at the door? He kicks it down and takes over. That's his style. Because once he's got you, it's pretty hard to get rid of him. Okay, next slide. Okay, here are some examples of people who found the straight and narrow. Nicodemus, he knew Scripture, and he didn't think he had eternal life. So he came at nighttime. He's a Pharisee. If in the daytime he goes to Christ and says, don't talk to him. He's not the Messiah. He said, love your enemies. We hate the Romans. We're not going to love them. Turn the other cheek. Forget about it. So he came to Jesus. And Jesus, he buttered him up. He said, we know, Pharisees, we know you are from God because of the miracles you do. He didn't say you're the Messiah or a great prophet, but we know God sent you from the miracle. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you're lost. Born again, he said, I can't go back into mother and be born again. And Jesus said, you're a Pharisee and you don't know. You have to be born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We get a new heart. Our sins are forgiven. Well, he came, but later, yeah, the woman that spent all her money on doctors, and at the end of 12 years, she was broke. But she knew, she may have heard, he heals people. She believed it. She came to Jesus. But she snuck up behind him and just touched his raiment, and she's healed. And then she took off, because Jewish tradition said, if you're rich and healthy, you're saved. If you're poor and sick, God's punishing you. You better do something about it. And since they prayed and spent money and did all of that, so she sneaked in and stole healing and tried to get out. The first time I read that text, I was only about 9 or 10, and I said, why did Jesus stop and say, who touched me? And the disciple says, touch, they've been bumping all over you, trying to get close. He said, no, I just healed somebody. And of course, she was standing there, and she came up and shaking, and yes, now she thinks he's going to take it back. He says, your faith healed you. Amen. You're not a terrible person. You've got great faith. Amen. So she wasn't only not bleeding anymore, she knew she was saved. Amen. That's the way God works. Well, the rich young ruler came, and he was earnest. He had just seen Jesus blessing the children when his apostles tried to get the mother out of there. We got important work. Find an old rabbi somewhere. He's got nothing to do. He can bless your kid. And Jesus said, no, you let them in. And then when Jesus picked them up and blessed them and took off, he said, this is a good man. I mean, and he ran after him. Rich people generally don't run unless they're being robbed, but I mean, generally, you don't have to run. So he caught up and he said, good master, what should I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, well, if you want eternal life and you want to do it, keep the law. Well, which one? You got hundreds of laws. He quoted some of the Ten Commandments. Oh, he said, from a youth, I kept those. Jesus looked at him and loved him. The man was sincere. And he said, you lack one more thing. Would you like to have Jesus tell you one more thing? You're saved. Just one. Oh, boy. Oh, girl. Oh, man. Oh, woman. Man, that's great. So, but he gave him 6 things to do. Go home. Oh, that doesn't make sense. Sell what you have. You know, his wealth, not his land. He always kept that. Give it to the poor. Ooh. It's gone. Come to me. Take up your cross and follow me. Amen. Now, there was only one of those that would save him. The first three, you can't buy heaven. And giving your money to the poor, that's a good work that you can do after you're saved. He came to Jesus. He was saved, justification. Then he could bear his cross, take persecution, and he would follow Jesus. Sanctification. But he, what did he do? He started crying and turned and went away because he had great wealth. And money was his God. And the disciples were amazed and said, if a rich young guy can't be saved, who can? And Jesus said, he trusted in riches. And Abraham was rich. David was rich. There were a lot of rich people, but they trusted in God. So just because we come on the straight and narrow to God doesn't mean we're going to be saved. We can turn around and go back. Pharisees came to Jesus. Do you pay taxes to Caesar? To trap him. If he said yes, the Messiah is king. Kings don't pay taxes. Their children don't pay taxes. But everybody else does. You're king. That's one of the privileges. So what Jesus is trying to get across, that just because you do good things, even if you come to him, it takes more than that. And the man that had 5,000 demons, somehow the Holy Spirit let him know that person can cast them out, because the man couldn't. Naked, cutting himself with sharp rocks. What's easier? To come to Christ, 5,000 devils can't stop you, and you don't have to cut yourself and run around and live out in the cemetery. And when I told the inmates, you're in prison. Is this easy? No. Well, being saved is. Prison is a place nobody wants to be in. Next one. Where's my timer in here? Oh, boy. Okay. Next one. We had the Nicodemus. Let's go on with the next one. Oh, that's small. Yeah, that is. I can't even read it here. See, the old robot got me. Yeah. Yeah. It's in my handout, so let's scoot along. I'm learning about slides here. But I like the pictures in the background. That's nice. Yeah. These are the full text of the people that I've talked about. Why is it easier to be saved than lost now? We look at that word easy, God's plan of salvation. Next, it's easy. Jesus said it. Rest for your soul. Let's get another text in the Bible. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Rest for your soul. And there you've got the shepherd that will go after the sheep that stray away. But Jesus said, I didn't come to get the righteous. I came to get the sinner. There were people living at the time of Christ who were already saved. Yeah, John the Baptist, for example. Okay, next one. It's free. Revelation 22:17. The Holy Spirit invites you, if you're thirsty, to drink the water of life freely. Well, you want to pay for it, then you're going to have to work a lot. But if it's a free gift, it's easy. But you have to be thirsty. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to make us thirsty. Then it becomes easier. It's simple. Paul told Timothy that from a child you knew the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ. If a child, didn't give an age here, but if a child can understand the plan of salvation, it's not complicated. Keep it simple. And it's fast. It's got to be fast. Because if it takes a year of training and education to get it, some aren't going to make it. And the fast thing, and that's the text there, in the beginning, everybody was making fun of Jesus. You say you're the Messiah. The Messiah was promised by God, the Old Testament, to rule the world. Well, that was the new earth, not this one. And they warned Pilate, if you let him get away, he says he's king of the Jews. He says don't pay taxes to Rome. And we write to the emperor, you're going to lose your job, if not your life. So Pilate was really worried. The only person Jesus said this to was Pilate. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. This world, the devil is the god of this world. My kingdom is not of this. If it was, my servants would be fighting. And when he fed the 5,000 men, not counting women and children, they try to force him to become king. What a general. All you need is a piece of bread. He could feed the army. If you got wounded, he'd heal it. If they killed you, you'd resurrect them up. The Romans would run out of soldiers. We could conquer them. But he is so meek and lowly. He says, love your enemies. Go an extra mile. Do this. Turn the other cheek. No, no. We'll force him to be king. His disciples were in on it. He ordered his disciples, go down to the boat. Ooh. And then he told the people, go home, and it stopped. That's in the Gospel of John. It's also fair. By fair, it means everyone. God the Father gives a measure of faith to everyone. You don't have to use it. But if you're told by the Holy Spirit, freely drink of the water of life and believe it, you've got faith enough to believe. You got faith enough to believe Jesus died for our sins. Okay? John 1, 9 to 12. Jesus is the light of the world, and he gives light or truth to everyone. And the truth he gives, the Father gives you enough faith to believe it. I mean, it's so easy now. It's going to be, there's no excuse for being lost. There'll be two surprised people in the judgment. The sheep who did nice things, and Jesus said, you did them to me. They said, we didn't do it to you. We lived before you came on earth. Jesus said, you did it to the least of my brothers. You did it to me. And it's fair because Jesus died for the sins of the world, not just for the sins of the saved, but the ones that are lost. He still died for the sins of the world. So the text that the gentleman gave me was Revelation 7, 13. It said, narrow, seek the narrow road and the gate, not the big gate, not the big road, and few find it. And it's true. A few people in Scripture came to Jesus. The rest, he had to go after. And since he's gone, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to convince the world, all of us, that we're lost sinners. Simple as that. Once we know we're lost sinners, we can start moving things. I want to get to Romans 6:23. Yeah, the Trinity all work together. The Holy Spirit and all of them work to save us. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The gift is Jesus, who died for our sin. Now, wages you have to work for. What's easier, working for something or taking a gift? You're going to work so many hours to buy something, and someone says, here, I'll just give it to you. Not that you or I deserve it. So that text makes it very, very plain that the wages of sin is death. However, we're going to go to the next one, and it's in Mark. Well, this is Jesus promised, If we lose things because of Jesus or the gospel, he is going to make it up 100-fold in this life. But there will be persecution. Amen. Yeah. But imagine, and tell the guy, you're in prison. Okay. But if you suffer here, God will make it up in this life. You don't have to wait for heaven 100-fold. Okay, the next one. No, that's the result of God's plan. There is a great multitude clothed in white. It's the saved from all nations at all time. And it's so big, you can't number it. You can't count it. You wouldn't live long enough. Oh, 1, 2, 3 is pretty good. 1,253,463,783,785,000. You'd have 5 minutes to just get one number, and you'd have to do it for the next one. You wouldn't live long enough. There's going to be more saved than lost. Satan is going to do better on us than he did with the angels. He only got a third. And I'm more saved than lost the way it's going. But there is a little problem. Mark 10, 29 and 30, if we've got that. Verily I say unto you. Yeah, well, that's the one that's 100-fold. Let's go to the next one. Well, that's getting at the end. So the one that they haven't found yet, the inmates, but they're going to be looking to see if they can get it so tough that maybe it isn't that easy. And that is in Mark 10. And I'm going to close with that. I don't have time to go into it. It's a little more complicated. But it looks like, again, Christ is contradicting himself. So Mark 10, 29, and it's a simple thing, but you can play with it. I give some ideas in the handout, and it says Mark 10, 28 and 29, yeah, but in here, well, I got the wrong thing. What it was, a man came to Jesus and said, "Are few saved?" And Jesus' answer was, "Strive to find the narrow, because many find the broad way." And it looks like that meant there will be more lost than saved. It's in the handout, but it takes a lot of text to kind of understand exactly what Jesus meant. He doesn't contradict himself. He knows exactly, but salvation is free. It's fair. It's simple. It's fast, and it's easy. And if anybody... And that's what the devil wants you to think. And he puts a heavy burden. You got to start doing this. Ooh, nice. And stop doing that. That's not salvation. This salvation is the most important truth in scriptures. And the devil has more false teachings about it than any other doctrine. And the first angel's message is to teach the everlasting gospel to all the world. Amen. And if you don't get people understanding it and saved, they're not going to suffer because of the mark of the beast, or you can't buy or sell or whatnot. If you love Jesus, we keep his commandments. It's just simple. But anyway, I don't believe in long sermons, because Ellen White said, if you want to have a good reputation. Keep your sermon short. And you live longer. I like both of those. So I'm going to close. We have a closing song, and you're going to help me with the benediction. I'm going to teach you the prayer that we have the inmates. They don't know what to say. They want to be saved. And it's called the sinner's prayer. So you'll get practice with it, because you may run into somebody and say, what do you do to be saved? You need to come real quick with it. John 3:16 is great. Okay, let's have our closing song and amazing. No, it's Holy, 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 the Trinity again. Yeah, okay, you're right there. Right. You have to repeat them, and then I'll give you some more, and you have to repeat them. And there is no set prayer. Everybody makes up their own. Father in heaven, I'm a sinner, and I've done wrong to many people, but I know you love me. And your son Jesus died to save me. And I thank you for that. And help me to love you more and to be in your kingdom with my loved ones and friends. In Jesus' name, amen.